What is going on, guys? It is Wednesday night. I am back with you for what is supposed to be an AEW Dynamite review. That is what this will be, even though tonight it is a four-hour fighter fest. Dynamite, Collision, back-to-back. No Collision this weekend because there's NHL playoffs or Stanley Cup, whatever it is. Money in the Bank, they don't want to be up against Money in the Bank. So each of the next 2 weeks, AEW is running back-to-back shows for four-hour blocks on Wednesday nights. So tonight was the first. They're going to be doing it again next week. And so this is going to be a review of the Dynamite portion of Fighter Fest, because I have to be up early in the morning. I ain't staying up until midnight and then going live just to watch Collision. I'm sorry, but that's not going to happen. So we talk about Dynamite each week. That's exactly what we're going to do tonight. We're going to talk about Dynamite. A Dynamite that I would call an above-average episode. There was some very good wrestling. If you want some good wrestling matches, you got some good wrestling matches. They had an excellent crowd. I will say that. They are in Denver tonight. The show is still in progress. I actually have the show on here off to the side, so I could take a peek over every now and then and see what's going on in case something catches my eye. But they are in Denver tonight. Great crowd. Not like a tiny building, but obviously a smaller venue, but I was really digging it. But just not a lot in the way of any kind of meaningful story advancement that you absolutely had to stick around to watch. Now, maybe that'll happen on Collision. We'll see. But as far as the Dynamite portion is concerned, if this was a show that you missed some good wrestling matches, but if you missed this episode of Dynamite, if you pick back up with it next week, you're good to go. It's not as if, oh my God, I got to go back and watch this. This is what happened on the show. I have to, you know, make sure I check this out. There was nothing like that on the show. As far as building to the key matches that we all know are coming, building to the key matches that we know are headed our way in Texas at All In, there really was nothing significant on the show that you have to go out of your way to see as far as that goes. But we had an international four-way for the international championship. Kenny Omega defending his title against Claudio Castagnoli, Brody King, and Mascara Dorada of CMLL. That was our main event on the show tonight. For all the people out there who thought, wow, we might actually get to see a new international champion, I don't know why you would think that. We do not have a new champion. Kenny Omega is still the champion. We actually, at the very, very end, technically the beginning of Collision, we had a confrontation involving Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada. That will obviously be a match that they build to officially at some point for Texas. It was a hell of a main event. Brody King, I didn't see how it happened. He got busted open. He was bleeding all over the place. A lot of good action, but again, an outcome that was absolutely never in doubt. And that's the issue with really all the key champions now. We're at the point where, you know, it's kind of like the point that you get to in the weeks leading up to WrestleMania, where you know the WWE Championship, it ain't changing. The World Heavyweight Championship, it ain't changing. All the key titles are going to be with their current stakeholders until we get to that key show. And when it comes to the Omegas and the Okadas and the Tony Storms and people like that, you know, that it's basically set in stone at this point. And the only question is, what are they going to do to really keep things interesting and make you fully invested in what is to come? That really is where we're at this point. There are no pay-per-views here for AEW in the month of June. So this Fighter Fest block, next week it's Summer Blockbuster for 4 hours. 2 weeks from now, they're going to be at Arena Mexico for the first time. That I'm looking forward to because I think that's going to be a very cool atmosphere. The first Dynamite at Arena Mexico. But you know, as far as tonight goes, they did set up a big match for next week's show. A match that I'm a little surprised they're actually giving away next week, but they did set up a big match next week involving Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland. So that is coming up on the show then. But as far as tonight, we had Jon Moxley and Mark Briscoe, you know, one-on-one in an untitled match. The Hurt Syndicate, they were on the show. They did shoot an angle to set up matches that will be forthcoming in the next 2 weeks involving the members of the Hurt Syndicate. We're actually going to get our first trios match involving Lashley, Benjamin, and MJF. That'll be next week. And then in 2 weeks at Arena Mexico, I don't know if they made it official, but they basically set up a singles match between MJF and, Mystico. I almost said Mascara Dorada. MJF and Mystico for Arena Mexico has been set up for 2 weeks. So that really is kind of the crux of what happened tonight, the key stuff. As far as Collision, which again is ongoing, the second half of Fyter Fest, they had an FTR match, again, which is actually in progress right now, against Atlantis Jr. and Templario. They set up on the show tonight a four-way where Nick Wayne is going to defend his Ring of Honor television championship. In a four-way match, if I wanted to watch Ring of Honor, I would watch Ring of Honor. Tekla is going to make her in-ring debut a little bit later on. They set up a Paragon six men, yeah, or I guess trios match, teaming with Daniel Garcia, whatever. Basically, it's an episode of Collision, is what is currently in progress right now. That's exactly what it is. So we can do without that. This is your AEW Dynamite Fyter Fest review for Wednesday, June 4th, 2025. I am the Solo Monster. I suspect this is going to be an early night, but let's see how things go here. Like and subscribe. Super chats are open. Whatever comes in tonight, I will be reading your messages and hanging out with you guys. So please go ahead and get those on in. I do want to just point out to you that the Dark Side of the Ring review that I recorded as part of episode 915 of the Sound Off is up on the YouTube channel now. It is the review from last week's episode on Daphne. I got a lot of positive feedback so far to it, even though it's a very sad story. But that review is up on the channel, so... Because I know we're behind by about a week or so. People were asking about it. So it is now up on the channel for those of you who want to go ahead and check that out. I do appreciate that. We still got our community leaderboard, brand new feature around here. So all of you interacting in the chat, work your way up the leaderboard. You accumulate experience points. I got my eye on you guys. Let's talk about this Dynamite show. I mentioned where they were tonight. They're in Denver, Colorado. They are actually in the Mission Ballroom, which has a capacity of about 4,000 for a wrestling show. Maybe you shave that down to 3,000. And they claimed that they were sold out tonight. And they may well be, because it was very loud, very energetic crowd tonight. I love the setup that they have. They have a short ramp from the stage to the ring, but the hard camera is a direct view of the ring where the announcers are right. You can see the announcers behind the ring in the background. I love that look. I just like that look. Reminds me of with the announcers on camera like that. That's how they used to shoot the WWE version of ECW, where you would see the announcers in the background. But just a very cool venue with a hot crowd. Tony Schiavone was in the ring to open the show. Bring Will Ospreay out to the ring. So he came out. And they aired footage from last week's show. After Dynamite, we had a little confrontation in the back between Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland. They got into a very heated argument. There was a brawl, small brawl, that broke out between them. Security had to intervene. They had to separate the two of them. Ospreay was screaming that we should all be on the same team. So they come back live. Ospreay said that he tried getting Swerve and Hangman Page on the same page, despite both men hating each other. Only for one night. That's all they need to do, is put their differences aside for one night so they can go out there, win the championship, take it away from Jon Moxley, and at that point, if they want to beat each other's throats, if they want to murder each other, go for it. But he's trying to get them to settle their differences or settle them on the side temporarily, so that they can come together and overcome the numbers advantage. Common enemy here. So Ospreay said Moxley once mentioned that he hates what AEW has become. So Ospreay's idea is for him to piss off people like Ospreay, Strickland, Hangman, Tony Storm, and Kenny Omega. They are the reason why AEW is popular again. He said, the only reason AEW sucks right now is because Jon Moxley is the champion. There are a lot of people that would agree with that statement. A lot of people think that's a shoot. Ospreay said the Death Riders are a threat to AEW, but if Strickland opts to cost Hangman the world title, then maybe he's just as much of a threat. So Ospreay says he loves Swerve. He would take a bullet for that man, but not before he would take a bullet for AEW. Ospreay said next week it's summer blockbuster. He's calling out Swerve for a match. I don't know, man. I mean, if he's such a big friend to Swerve Strickland and he's trying to settle things between Swerve and Hangman, he's trying to call a truce here. I don't know. Calling the man out for a match seems counter to what he's trying to do. They're interrupted by the crew. Or is it just crew? C-R-U. Action Andretti and Leo Rush. So that was promptly met by chance of shut the fuck up from the Denver crowd. Rush brought up getting off a 14-hour flight from Japan. Action Andretti has the night off, but Leo says he's got some pent-up anger. He says the worst part of AEW is Ospreay's dumb... What is with these guys coming out here and talking about all the worst parts of AEW? Ospreay says AEW sucks because Moxley is champion. Leo Rush comes out here and says the worst part of AEW is having to come out here and listen to Will Ospreay's dumbass. Ospreay said he'll help Leo get all that anger out tonight because we're sold out. He's got his spray tan on. He was very orange tonight. He's got his spray tan on. His crime-fighting pants are in the back. And he asked if the crowd wants a Will Ospreay match. And they cheered loudly, and he said he'll face Leo Rush tonight on Collision. That's what he said, on Collision. And he will see Swerve next week in Portland. So again, that's a Forbidden Door rematch from last year. That's a big match that they are giving away on the show next week. It's going to be another four-hour show. And it makes me think, you know, maybe they're doing the match now with the idea that we're not going to get a clean winner because the Young Bucks interfere. I could see the Young Bucks getting involved. So the match is a no contest or a draw. And that then leads to Ospreay and Swerve as partners at All In against the Bucks, which is where I thought things were going with Swerve and Hangman. But if Tony Khan made a late decision and really it was 50-50 who he was going to go with to challenge Jon Moxley, it's possible he decided, okay, we'll go with Hangman and we'll just plug Ospreay into the spot that Hangman was going to be in. That's why I think they're doing the match next week. So we'll see if I'm right and if the Bucks get involved. I know Ricochet made an appearance very brief in the back at the beginning of Collision later. Talking about how he's going to be scouting, he's going to be looking at different talent throughout the night, he's not wrestling tonight. I do feel like, because he was really emphasizing crew, I need my own crew. And you have these two guys here in Leo Rush and Action Andretti, who are not major stars on the show, but they literally call themselves crew. And if Ricochet is looking for a couple of guys that could sort of back him up, and he could throw to the wolves when necessary, these two would fit the bill. So if Ricochet is going to form his own group, I could see these two being a part of it. So that was your opening segment here on this show. Right now they are at commercial. You know what's funny is I watch the show each week on Max. And when Dynamite ended, the stream ended. It says this event has ended. It didn't even go directly into Collision. That's how it really is two different shows. It's not just one big four-hour block. Even Warner Brothers Discovery, they don't recognize it as such. So I sat here waiting to see if it was going to eventually come on. And it didn't.
Fuck that tree.
Hey, Tuxedo T-Servo, thank you. So I sat here waiting to see if Collision would eventually come on, and it didn't. So I had to close out of it, go back to the main screen, and then click on Collision, and then it started. So that was kind of weird. But I guess that's just how they recognize it. We opened in the ring. That was the promo segment. We opened in the ring with the AEW World Champion, Jon Moxley, in a non-title match against Mark Briscoe. Basically, it was an eliminator match. Even though they didn't call it that, they didn't refer to it as an eliminator. You know, on commentary, Excalibur said, well, if Mark Briscoe wins, he'll probably earn himself a future match for the AEW World Championship. And I said, well, brother, that's an eliminator match. So that's what we had here. The fight very quickly taken outside. There were 10 punches up against the barricade that sent Moxley scrambling back into the ring. Briscoe locked on a sleeper hold very briefly, before charging. He ran into a boot from Moxley. Briscoe sent Moxley to the floor. He caught him with a baseball dropkick through the ropes, or a basement dropkick. Is there such a thing as a baseball dropkick? You know, of all the fights and all the things I've seen in baseball, like Mets games, I don't think I've ever seen a dropkick. I've seen guys get speared, like double leg to the ground when you, like, charge the mound. I've seen that. I don't know that I've ever seen a baseball dropkick, though. All right, so I'm looking here as Kyle Fletcher is on his way to the ring. That must mean that Paragon is about to have their match. I'm sorry I'm missing that. So anyway, you can tell my interest level in anything Paragon related. It's kind of sad. Adam Cole used to be one of the top stars on the show. I was looking forward to his segments, and now he's the TNT champion, and it's hard to bring myself to care. Briscoe sent Moxley to the floor, though, caught him with that basement dropkick through the ropes. There was a distraction by Wheeler Yuta that allowed Moxley to sidestep the cannonball off the apron, so Briscoe ends up splatting on the floor on the cannonball attempt. Laszlo says dropkick spikes up. Oh, yeah, can you imagine that? Like a dropkick at a baseball game with the spikes, with the cleats. Man, that'd be rough. Marina Shafir took the referee, Paul Turner, distracted him. That gave Yuta a chance to send Briscoe into the post, which busted him open. It's a Mark Briscoe match. You know, Mark Briscoe has taken the mantle of John Moxley, where I don't, in any kind of, I don't see his matches, you know, on Collision, but when I see Mark Briscoe almost anywhere else, my expectation now all the time is that he's going to bleed. It's such an obligatory thing. It's like, well, we got to bleed. Like, you don't, but he can't help himself. So Briscoe got, he didn't get busted open. He bladed. He started bleeding. Back from the commercial break, Briscoe ramped up some redneck kung fu. It was an enziguri that sent Moxley out to the floor, where Briscoe followed with a somersault senton. Back in the ring, Briscoe wanted a J-driller, but Moxley spun out into a lariat. Briscoe escaped a paradigm shift. He gave Moxley a taste of his own medicine with a lariat of his own. Briscoe wanted Froggy Bow, but he jumped right into the clutches of Moxley, sank in a cross arm breaker. Briscoe, though, he got a toe on the bottom rope for a break. Moxley took the referee. That gave Yuta a chance to hammer lock the arm. He posted Briscoe. Marina Shafir tossed him back into the ring. Briscoe came right back, though, with a rolling Death Valley driver, and he hit the J-driller. Flush. Dropped him right on his head. Now, he didn't go for the pin immediately. There was a brief delay, only a few seconds. But then he did crawl over. He covered him for the pin, and John Moxley kicked out at the very last second. And on commentary, Ian Riccaboni mentioned that was the first time that anyone in AEW has ever kicked out of the J-driller. And I thought, man, that just feels wrong. Because it is a brutal move on top of, you know, whatever significance that move has to Mark Briscoe and anybody else. It's one of those moves that, you know what, you really should protect it and nobody should kick out of it. Or if somebody's going to kick out of it, you save it for a special occasion. I get that John Moxley is the world champion, but this is not a title match. I wouldn't call this really a special occasion. I don't know. I don't like the fact that that move was kicked out of it all. Briscoe wanted the cutthroat driver, which Riccaboni claimed Briscoe had only used 8 times in his entire career. Moxley spun out of it, though. He landed a stomp. He got the bulldog choke applied. He transitioned into a rear naked choke. And then we got the Bret Hart Roddy Piper WrestleMania 8 spot, where Briscoe kicked off the turnbuckles in the corner for a questionable 2 count. It looked like it may have been 3 to me. Hence the chance of ref you suck that followed this. Only Moxley held on to the choke and Briscoe passed out. This was the second week in a row, by the way, that Briscoe passed out in that hold. So it was the usual Death Riders interference here in this match. Otherwise, you know, it was a good match. Crowd was into Mark Briscoe. They like Mark Briscoe. You know, he's a very likable guy. He's a fun guy to watch. Doesn't win a lot of his matches, but, you know, again, the people liked him. So they were into this. Moxley should not be losing, obviously, before All In. We have now, there was a point in time where I was hoping he would lose the championship, and he didn't. But now we've crossed over into that territory where it wouldn't make any sense for him to lose until we get to Texas. And this wasn't a title match anyway, but non-title or title, at this point, he shouldn't be losing until we get to All In. And so it was competitive, not very dramatic, but it was more competitive than maybe you would have expected it to be. But the outcome can't possibly be surprising if anybody is really paying attention to what's going on here. And I'm looking here at what we have currently. What is this? What am I looking at here? I see Kyle Fletcher. Oh, okay. I see Bandito. That's okay. I see some luchadors on screen. I recognize Bandito. I don't recognize who these other people are. Getting their asses kicked here by the Callis family. This is what I was going to wait and stay up until midnight and then first review. Yeah, I don't think so. Los Runners. That's what Bash says in the chat. Los Out. I see. Los Outrunners. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Okay. Very good. Yeah, I'm happy I went live in my normal time. We had Mercedes Moné. She was out to the ring. Not to wrestle, but she was out to the ring. Now, she was advertised for this show as a commentator. That's what she was supposed to be doing. She was supposed to be doing commentary during Tony Storm's match. Instead, she came out before the match, and she called for her own table to be brought out to ringside with a steak and a glass of wine. So she was going to have dinner and observe the next match. That was the new plan here. And I love, my favorite part of this is you had Taz on commentary. He called it a shoot steak. It's a shoot steak. Now let me ask you, how do you work a steak? Can you explain that to me? Is there such a thing as a worked steak? Well, in case you were wondering, it was a shoot steak. So says Taz. It was Tony Storm, though, and Mina Shirakawa as a tag team taking on Julia Hart and Sky Blue. Mina and Sky, they started the match. Tony briefly got in and used her back as a launching pad for Mina to hit a tornado dive. Sky Blue escaped a glamorous driver as Julia tagged in and quickly applied a tarantula in the ropes. While Mercedes was busy taking selfies at ringside, Sky swept out Storm's legs on the apron, planted her right by Mercedes before joining Julia in the ring to hit an assisted spinning rock bottom to Mina. And that took us into the commercial break. Official GTA says, I thought Moné was vegan. I don't think she ate any of the steak. She may be, I don't know. I don't follow her life that closely that I know whether or not she's vegan or a vegetarian. I have no idea. There was a shoot steak, though, sitting in front of her on the table here. So after a break, Mina attempted a tag. Sky knocked Tony off the apron. Tony and Sky traded attacks. They both ended up out on the floor. Mina took to the top rope, but whatever she attempted to do didn't go the way that she wanted to. And she ended up pulling Julia to the mat on the way down. She then made a hot tag to Tony Storm, who came in and landed a sky high on Sky Blue. Mina and Tony both delivered German suplexes. They danced, and they landed hip attacks in opposite corners. Tony applied a chicken wing to Sky Blue, and she tapped out quickly, which did not make Mercedes very happy out on the floor. So, last week, Dynamite went off the air with the first ever face-to-face confrontation between Toni Storm and Mercedes Moné. This was their introduction to each other, 45 days, they said. We have 45 days as of last Wednesday until All In Texas when they meet for the AEW Women's World Championship. The follow-up to last week's main event segment was Mercedes sitting at ringside and eating dinner. Or not eating dinner, as it were, but that was the idea, that she was eating dinner. Riveting stuff. It's going to be a long 38 days until we get to Texas. But the heels took a good portion of this match. You know, they got heat on Mina. That allowed the champion then to make the hot tag and come in and save the day and take the spotlight. Not much to this. You know, it wasn't a great match. It was fine. I mean, Tony and Mina together are fun. Mercedes did nothing. Absolutely nothing. Again, she was supposed to do commentary. She didn't. Maybe it was for the better. I don't know. But that steak, it didn't completely go to waste, because when the match was over, Tony went over and she was eating some of the steak. So at least the food didn't go to waste. See, it was a shoot steak. So she was able to eat it. Maybe it was a Restelli's. I see that every time I'm flipping around, I come across QVC. I see fucking Ray Restelli. He's always there hawking his steak. It does look very good, I will say. Got to have your steak well done with ketchup. That's the way to do it. Anyway, Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland, that was confirmed for next week's show. We go backstage. MJF approaches Ospreay, who is in the middle of being interviewed, I believe. But MJF comes over and says, "You have no chance. You have no chance of beating Swerve or Hangman, and even less of a chance of getting them on the same page." Called them animals, and told Ospreay, just let them tear each other apart. Ospreay said he was thinking of AEW. MJF only ever thinks of himself. And MJF had no chance of defeating Hangman if Hangman won the championship. You have no chance of beating him either, he says. So MJF brought up Ospreay's son, Henry. I think he might have been asking, oh, you have a son named Henry, or how's he doing? That pissed off Ospreay. And he grabbed MJF by the lapels. He backed him into some equipment crates that were over there. All of a sudden, the Hurt Syndicate is surrounding Will Ospreay. We see MVP, and we see Bobby Lashley, and we see Shelton Benjamin. And Ospreay backed off. MVP said, we've got business elsewhere. And off they went. Well, look, you know, if they don't go with the tag team idea that I mentioned for Texas with Ospreay and Swerve as tag team partners, I guess they could always run back MJF and Will Ospreay one-on-one. I just don't see the point in doing that again 2 years in a row at All In. I mean, they had that 59-minute match on Dynamite last summer. Then a month later at Wembley, they came back and they had a great match at All In. I mean, look, if they want to set it up, I'm not saying it wouldn't be a big match. I'm not saying it wouldn't be a great match, but it would just seem, what are we doing here? Why are we running this back? What would be the point of doing that? So I still fall into the camp of the tag team match, because if you don't do the tag team match, I honestly don't know where the Young Bucks fit into anything at All In. I don't know what else you do with them, and I don't see them leaving them off the card. And I also don't see them doing the Hurt Syndicate against the Young Bucks, which would probably be the biggest tag team match in the division that they could do, but it would also be, you know, heel against heel. I know the fans cheer for the Hurt Syndicate in most cities, but still, they're supposed to be a heel team. I don't know what else you would do with Matt and Nick if they're not wrestling Swerve and Ospreay. Please don't tell me FTR, by the way. Let's just run that back again. Let's do it again. The Bucks and FTR. We don't need that either. We can keep them apart for a while. Speaking of the Hurt Syndicate, they made their way out to the ring. Are we having a great steak debate right now in the chat? Did you take me seriously when I said, well done with ketchup? Now, I have my steak medium. I have my steak medium. Anything less than that's bad news. A little pink, but like overly red. That's not going to be good. It's too risky. Medium well. It's pushing it, but I've had it done before. ketchup and steak is not this horrendous war crime that some people make it out to be. But no, I typically will not have, I have some kind of steak sauce. I do not have ketchup with it. I may be the Salah monster, but I am not a real monster. I would not do that. Hurt Syndicate came out. Crowd was chanting for Bobby Lashley. Bobby. Bobby. They were big Bobby fans tonight. Just like Brock Lesnar, man. Bobby. Bobby. Why? Because they were in Denver. And he's got roots in that city. So then they chanted a little bit for Shelton when MVP prompted them to. And they booed MJF, which he was not happy about that. MVP asked Lashley his opinion of Denver now that he lives in Texas. And then he gave a big thumbs down. So they managed to turn the crowd here against Bobby. MVP called Lashley and Benjamin the greatest tag team champions in any company. And he asked if AEW was where the best wrestle, then where are the best to challenge the champs? That's a great fucking question. I've been asking that same question. They come out here and they talk a big talk every single week. We want challengers. Where are their challengers? Give us the best tag teams. And it makes the teams that they have, like the Bucks and FTR, just look so bad. And I know they're heels and they're not meant to be working with them right now, but if you're going to send these guys out there to say what they're saying here, and then they stand there waiting for some team to come out and defy them when they say that these two right here are the greatest tag team champions in the world and the greatest tag team in the world, and then you don't have the Young Bucks or FTR come out, it just makes them look so foolish, right? It's like, why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they come out and want to have a shot at the tag team titles? Why wouldn't they take offense to the Hurt Syndicate coming out there and saying that? Because we know they're there. Instead, I guess FTR, they had big business, though, to deal with tonight. See, FTR, they can't be bothered by coming out and confronting Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin. We can't do that because tonight, I mean, they've got to work Atlantis Jr. and Templario. That's where their priority is. I get it. I mean, Templario, man, you don't want to fuck with that guy. Anyway, he said repeatedly that there is no one capable of beating the champions. He then asked the people to show some respect for MJF, and the people booed. MJF said that he wanted gold just like his friends, Bob and Shelton. He said he wanted the AEW World Championship, and that means, unfortunately, he's going to have to wrestle a little bit more often. He promised that he would get over it. MJF brought up Mystico, who is being advertised for next week's show now, and the Arena Mexico show in 2 weeks. They had a little video package for him on the show tonight. MJF said that his country of Mexico, that being Mystico's country of Mexico, thinks that he's the best wrestler in the world. But that is not true because MJF is the best, and he hails from the only country that means anything. The only country that is worth a damn, the United States of America. MJF said that he was the youngest foreigner to ever sell out Arena Mexico. Funny enough, I think actually on that Arena Mexico show that he wrestled last year when he had the American title, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he wrestled Templario. I believe he did. So he called Mystico a big fish in a small stinky pond. And if he was impressed with his match next week that Mystico was going to have, he would let Mystico wrestle him at Grand Slam Mexico. Kevin Knight came out, back from the Super Juniors in Japan. He was joined by Speedball Mike Bailey and Commander. They walked out on stage. Commander called out MJF for disrespecting Mystico and Lucha Libre. He called MJF a bastard and said that everything that came out of his mouth was garbage. Bailey said that if they wanted the best, the people right in front of them were international killers. Knight said that they could get it popping tonight in the Mile High City, but MVP shut them down because you guys haven't earned it yet. He told them to impress them by earning a title shot, and then they left. And that led directly into the next match, which was La Facción Ingobernable. We had Rush, we had Dralístico, and we had the Beast Mortos. Whatever happened to the Beast Mortos And, he didn't win the $100,000. They had that fucking match. He was on the losing team. Right. See, I had an issue with, that's what it was. I said, man, there was a story there. If he would have been on the winning team, we could have had weeks of vignettes of the Beast Morto spending his money. There was no mention beyond, I think maybe they did mention briefly maybe something on commentary the following week about how the babyfaces were spending their money, or there was like a backstage segment, but then they just moved on from it. But like the comedy potential was there with the Beast Mortos. It still bothers me that they just wasted it. Anyway, Beast Mortos is here. Too bad he didn't get the $100,000. Maybe he could have improved his gear. Took on Kevin Knight, Mike Bailey, and Commander. We had a very quick, as you would imagine, we had a very fast start to this match here. Action spilled outside. Knight dodged Roosh throwing a drink at him. Bailey and Mortos, they brawled over by the stage. The match heads back to the ring. Roosh got triple teamed until Mike Bailey got clipped by a knee from the Beast, which allowed Roosh to pounce. LFI, they gorilla pressed, and they walked Bailey all around the ring before chucking him down onto his partners. That took us into the commercial break. Ty Mello is back. Wow. All right, there you go. Ty Mello is back. When was the last time she wrestled? What was the last match she had? I know her and Sammy had a kid. Has she... I could have sworn she came back a little while ago. Was this her first time back since childbirth? I have no idea. I have no idea, but good for her. Apparently she's back. So Bailey got dismantled during the commercial break until a handspring led to a misdirection between Mortos and Dralistico that allowed Commander to make the hot tag, and he flew in with a series of Hurricane Ranas. Dralistico answered with a springboard destroyer. Knight and Roosh, they tagged in. We got a slugfest. We got a chop battle. Roosh signaled for the bull's horns, or as he would say, the bull's horns, in the corner, but he put on the brakes. He stopped short, and instead he booted Knight in the face. Then he struck the LFI pose. Roosh took too much time, though, to follow up, and Kevin Knight hit a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker for a two count. LFI wanted a triple powerbomb, but the babyfaces hit triple drop kicks, followed by triple dives to the floor. She had a match in Mexico a few months ago. See, I knew I wasn't crazy. But is that so? That's the only match that she's had then until her return now? Well, that makes sense. Yeah, because I couldn't remember the last time I even saw her in the ring. It's been quite a while. When did they have their child? I know Alexa Bliss missed 2 years, right? The last time we had seen her was the Royal Rumble in 2023. We didn't see her back in the ring again until the Royal Rumble this year. I don't think Ty Mello's been out for that long, though. So we had Commander tagging in, and he did a rope walk into an assisted code red on the Beast for a two count. LFI battled back. Mortos got a pop-up Samoan drop. Dralistico got his springboard crucifix for a close near fall. That looked brutal. I mean, it looked like Commander got hooked right onto his fucking head. Bailey tagged in. Mortos turned Bailey inside out with a lariat. Kevin Knight came in to save his partner with a rolling lariat, which gave Bailey a chance to hit the time adventure. Commander rope walked the top, took out Roosh and Dralistico outside. People were going nuts. They always go nuts for that because it's such a great spot. And again, it's just something that very few people can pull off with the kind of accuracy and smoothness that he does, because he does the rope walk. And it's a bit much sometimes if the other guy is already on their feet and they have to stand there and wait for it. But he does the rope walk and he does that kind of twisting splash out to the floor. And it's a great spot. It always gets a big pop. And it did so here. And then in the ring, Kevin Knight hit the UFO splash where he twists his body in midair and then hits a splash and he wins it for the babyfaces. When the match was over, the Hurt Syndicate, they walked out onto the stage. MVP said that despite getting their asses kicked for about 10 minutes in the match, they pulled off a win. And so they win the prize, which means next week in Portland, they get a match against Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin and MJF. It's going to be a trios match on the show next week. Tonight, though, they get to have a taste of that match a week early. Lashley and Benjamin hit the ring. They're quickly sent outside by Bayley and Kevin Knight. MJF charges in. He gets taken out by a springboard from Commander. And the Hurt Syndicate roll out to the floor. They get met with a triple dive as the babyfaces stand tall and the Syndicate is left furious. This was the big spot fest match. I can't speak to some of the matches that are taking place on Collision right now, but this was the big spot fest match on Dynamite. Just tons of crazy moves. It was never boring. I mean, there was always something going on, constant movement, big spots. Crowd was loving it. We get these kind of party matches on Dynamite every week. That was the party match, so to speak, of the night. They did a lot of stuff. They did a lot of stuff. Even the stuff I just covered was probably half of what they did. I like that they had Kevin Knight get the win, though. Because his first night back from Japan, he was getting a bit of a push. Not like a mega push, but he was getting a push a little bit there. He was getting TV time before he went away for those several weeks. And so, you know, you pick up with him now that he's back. You know, he's a good young talent they have. Keep pushing him. It felt like he was about to start something with Ricochet, who, funny enough, just walked out here onto the show. There he is, as Ricochet, as Ricochet. So he was starting a feud, it felt like, with Ricochet before he went away. And they could always circle back to it. I mean, that very well could be a match on the All In Texas card if they want to get back to it. They haven't yet. But again, this was his first match back, and Ricochet didn't really do anything on Dynamite, so we'll see if they link them back up. But first, we have the Hurt Syndicate in a trios match next week. This will be the first time we get MJF as partners with Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin. So that'll be next Wednesday, and then in 2 weeks, it's not made official yet, but they wouldn't tease it if they weren't going to do it. It'll be MJF very likely getting into the ring with Mystico. You know, if there's one good thing, if nothing else, that comes out of this MJF Hurt Syndicate stuff, it looks like we're going to get MJF in the ring more often probably than we have in a very long time, because MJF does not wrestle very often. Like week to week, like back to back weeks on this show, we don't really see MJF in the ring. All of a sudden, each of the next 2 weeks, it looks like he's going to be in the ring. So that's good. He's actually working. That's good. No matter what happens from this point on, at least he's actually having matches. Alicia Atout was backstage with Daniel Garcia and Paragon. It's an extra O here. I don't know why. So I guess he was backstage with Paragoon as Adam Cole asked for this time. And he mentioned that they all share the same disdain for the Don Callis family. He said, "How about tonight we have an 8-man tag?" And Garcia said there are a lot of things that he wants. And as he was saying this, he was staring at the TNT title over Cole's shoulder. But he said getting his hands on the Don Callis family is at the top of the list. So I'll see you out there tonight. And that match was made official for the second half of Fyter Fest tonight. Lexi Nair was backstage with the Patriarchy, brought up Nick Wayne's impressive showing in the Best of the Super Juniors in Japan, which he just returned from. Christian Cage mentioned that Nick had an impressive showing, but he didn't win. He did not win. He had a grueling schedule, though, with 14 matches in 22 days, but there are no excuses. Said the schedule would earn anybody a night off, but Nick Wayne isn't just anybody. He's the son of Christian Cage. He's the Ring of Honor television champion. So tonight he is going to defend his title right here in Denver. And Nick said, "Great, last time you did this for me, it was a cakewalk. It was light work." Christian said, "Well, it was, but tonight it's going to be a four-way match." And Christian said that he wanted to find a place to go lay down with Mother Wayne. Oh, my goodness. Well, speaking of which, okay, we have our four ways in the ring right now, funny enough. It is Nick Wayne. And there it is. There's the Ring of Honor television title being held up by Rick Knox. I'm surprised he doesn't have it upside down, this guy. Sammy Guevara. So it's Rick Wayne. Nick Wayne, Sammy Guevara. And is that, that's not Lee Moriarty. Who is that? Oh, it's AR Fox. And a fourth guy who I can't see right now. Very good. The Ring of Honor television title is on the line. Exciting. So Cage wanted to go find a place to go lay down with Mother Wayne, but said that we should be ringside to watch the match. And he told him not to worry. He said Kip Sabian is working on a big surprise for him. They came back to the ring, and Max Caster is in the ring, and he is doing the Platinum Max 5-minute open challenge gimmick again. Caster said the Maximaniacs in Denver wanted nothing more than to chant his name. The ridiculous chant that he has, you know, let's go, Max, you're the best wrestler in the world. What is it? Is that the chant? Let's go, Max, you're the best wrestler in the world. It's a ridiculous thing, but it's getting over. And the fans actually chanted along. And of course, the shtick is that he says, well, that's not good enough. That wasn't very good. And then they all boo. So he said, tonight is the return of the 5-minute open challenge. It's time to see who can survive five with the best wrestler alive. He was 0 for 10 coming into tonight with these open challenges, by the way. You can make that 0 for 11 now. Because Powerhouse Hobbs, one-third of the ops, accepted the challenge. Well, I guess technically Hook is still a member, so there's four members instead of three. But he's one-third of the trios champions. There was no Samoa Joe. There was no Katsuyori Shibata on the show tonight. For whatever reason, I'm not quite sure why exactly, but for whatever reason, Hobbs came through the crowd. Now, this was an open challenge. So unless he got a heads up that Max Caster was coming out to the ring, how would he have known that Max Caster was going to be in the ring throwing out an open challenge? I don't know why Hobbs was coming through the crowd like he was a member of the Shield. But maybe he was on the concourse getting popcorn. Maybe he was on the concourse getting popcorn. And on that note, I have to throw this up here on the screen for you. It's too bad that he couldn't get his popcorn in this thing here. This is a real thing. It's the Giant Galactus popcorn vessel. They are rolling these out for the new Fantastic Four movie that is coming out at the end of next month. 17 and a half inches tall, 20 inches wide. Have fun holding on to that. Have fun sitting there with that and your drink and your candy and whatever other crap that you buy at the movie. I mean, how much would that even cost these days? I don't go to the movies as much as I used to, but my God, imagine buying this thing, this monstrosity here, and a large drink and a candy. What's that going to run you? Maybe 50 bucks these days? Just for that alone? Yeah, it's got handles. Look at this fucking thing. It's got handles. It looks like a steering wheel with popcorn in it. I think I just came up with the greatest invention ever, by the way. But yes, there is another Fantastic Four movie is coming out, was it July 25th, I believe. I believe Pedro Pascal is in it, if I'm not mistaken. But my God, I mean, this thing, I can't even imagine what this and a drink, forget the candy, what that is probably running at the movie theater these days. It's insane. But you know damn well that this thing right here is going to end up on eBay. Whatever they're charging for this thing, it's going to end up on eBay not long after. And then it's going to be going for like $250. And there are people that will spend the money on that. It does. It looks like a steering wheel. What are you laughing at me for? It looks like a fucking steering wheel. It looks like a Galactus steering wheel where his face is in the middle. His face is the horn. You honk his face to honk your horn. They should do that. They should make Marvel steering wheels. They'll make a fortune. So Hobbs immediately mowed down Max Caster when the bell rang. We got some corner lariats as Caster managed an eye poke, and then he tried a springboard axe handle, but he landed right into the spine buster, and it was a very quick win as it should be for Powerhouse Hobbs. I have no idea why this gimmick, this open challenge gimmick, did not end after Anthony Bowens returned and he answered the challenge at Dynasty. That felt to me like everything was building to that, and that was going to be the end of the gimmick. But they are continuing with this, and look, it's getting over. You know, it's getting over as a comedy gimmick. I have to assume that this is, they're using this as a way to eventually turn Caster babyface when he finally wins a match, because now he's 0 for 11, right? At some point, he's got to win a match, and when he wins a match, people will pop for it. But I just don't really understand. I mean, otherwise, I don't really know what the goal of this is even supposed to be. I mean, with the fact that they just kept it going even after Bowens came back was like, oh, okay, I thought that was going to be the end of it, but it just kept going. But they closed the Dynamite portion of Fyter Fest with the four-way match for the AEW International Championship with Kenny Omega defending his title against Claudio Castagnoli, Brody King, and CMLL star Mascara Dorada. This was your Dynamite main event for tonight. Omega used his Take Flight theme instead of his Battle Cry. I'm not a fan of that. Not a fan of replacing Battle Cry with this other theme that is inferior. I'm sorry, but it is. Claudio immediately attacked at the bell. The action spilled outside early. Claudio walked away to prevent an aerial attack from Omega, and Dorada took down Brody King with a tornillo. Omega finally splashed Claudio when he got into range, into the drop zone. King fired back. He tossed Dorada into the crowd over the barricade. Claudio attempted to make a run at Brody, but he intercepted him with a back elbow. King powerbombed Dorada into Claudio, and then he splashed them both against the barricade. Omega then landed a snapdragon suplex to Brody on the floor, and then dove on him through the ropes, and that took us into the commercial break. Claudio, coming out of the break, landed shoulder tackles in the corner on Omega, but he escaped and delivered a snapdragon suplex. King entered the ring. He was bleeding above his eye. I have no idea how this happened, but as the match progressed, it got worse and worse. And he was bleeding pretty badly, but it looked like it was above his left eye. Claudio dumped King to the floor. Omega recovered and delivered a V-trigger to Claudio's back. Omega held King on his shoulders. Claudio came off the top with an uppercut for a doomsday device. Mascara Dorada, he pulled Claudio off the turnbuckles with a Hurricane Rana. Omega got spiked by a poison Rana from Dorada. King landed a huge lariat on Claudio, and he covered him for a near fall. Brody, at this point, again, bleeding very heavily. Claudio dropped Brody with a neutralizer, and Omega broke up the pin just in the nick of time. Omega set up for a snapdragon, but he got pulled into a sunset flip by Dorada, who then took down Claudio with a flurry of offense. Claudio recovered. He put down Dorada with a sit-out powerbomb. Omega, though, broke up the pin attempt. Dorada used both feet to monkey flip Claudio to the floor, and then he used a shooting star press to dive out onto him on the floor. And Omega seized the opportunity. He was doing his lucha stuff so much, he lost sight of the important thing here, which was the international championship. And so Omega seized the opportunity. He caught Dorada off the top rope. He turned it into a one-winged angel, and he covered him. He covered the CMLL guy to pin him and retain the international championship. This went about 20 minutes. Again, all action. It never really slowed down. I don't know what happened to Brody King, but it looked like a bad night for Brody King. At least he got to main event Dynamite, but he may need some stitches after this match. And everybody had a chance to shine, you know, at different points. Honestly, Omega, it felt to me like Omega was, if I had a rank all of these guys in terms of what they were doing and how much of the spotlight they had in this match, Omega would probably be at the very bottom of the pile. You know, he just sort of, it felt almost like he snuck in there at the end, barely, and retained his championship. But, you know, everybody had a chance to shine at one time or another. Brody and Claudio, they were going at it there for a while in the Continental Classic. So this was sort of reigniting their old feud from that tournament. But as a main event, it was very good. It was very good, but I expected it to be very good. And I expected Kenny Omega to win, which of course he did. So there was really no drama there. Oh my God, is he going to lose the championship before he gets to Texas and he gets to Okada? Like, fuck no. I mean, why would you think that? I don't know. They did this little mini tournament last week to set this up, and it was all moot from the moment they even announced the tournament in the first place. So a fine match. The expected result is what we got. Now, when the match was over, this was technically the beginning of Collision. Dynamite ended, and then Collision started. And as Kenny is celebrating his win, we hear the coin drop. And out comes Kazuchika Okada. And he made his way out in a jacket and pants that I have to say Seth Rollins would be impressed by. Seth Rollins would be giving him some applause for the outfit that this guy came out in. He almost reminded me of what the fuck was The Undertaker wearing at Survivor Series that year? 2000, the snakeskin pants. I don't know. It kind of reminded me of that in a way. It was like this. I can't even call it a suit, but it was almost like a gold suit that he was wearing. So he makes his way out to the ring. They come face to face, and Okada holds up his continental title. Kenny holds up his international title. They're up in each other's faces. Okada rubs the belt in Omega's face. They end up shoving, and then things break down at that point. They drop their belts. They start slugging it out until Okada catches him with a body shot. That took Omega down. He went for a rainmaker. Omega avoided it, and he lifted Okada up for a one-winged angel, but Okada slipped out. He bailed onto the ramp, and he was sporting a busted lip. So nothing has been officially announced yet. But you go back a few months. I'm talking March or April. Maybe even earlier than that, dude. Like, we may be going back to, like, fuck, when did Kenny come back? January? When did he come back to Dynamite? It might have been in February. That was the first time where they had them in the ring together. And then they focused on that All in Texas banner that was hanging up even at the beginning of the year in the building. So they've been teasing this match for months, not a month or 2 months. They've been teasing this match for months. And let's be honest here. One of the main reasons, if not the main reason, that Tony Khan really wanted Okada in AEW. And I'm not saying were it not for this match, Okada tests the free agent waters and Tony Khan's not interested and doesn't make an offer. But what I'm saying is the number one thing that Tony Khan wanted to do with Kazuchika Okada when he brought him into this company was to put him in the ring with Kenny Omega. And Omega had been out for a while with the diverticulitis and the surgery and everything, and so he had to wait. If it were up to Tony Khan, I believe that the match he would have wanted to do with that first Wembley show was Omega Okada, but he couldn't do it. So this is the match that he has always wanted to do. It has been years since we have had a singles match between these two men. And so now he has the chance to book his dream match for Texas. And I think the match should absolutely be a champion against champion, title for title, unification match. I do not see the need for a continental title. It is truly the most useless championship in the entire company. There's no need for it. There's no need for the Continental Classic to have a championship belt. So have a champion against champion, title for title match. Even the women's match with Mercedes and Tony is not title for title. This should be title for title, and then you unify them, and you have one singular AEW international champion. Keep the international title. Get rid of the continental title. It is not needed. The only reason Okada has held on to this title for this long is to get to this match. That's it. And that's part of what makes things, you know, boring sometimes, is when you know that these titles, they're not changing hands. Like, we've all known that the Continental title isn't going anywhere because they were waiting for this moment, and now it is upon us. You know, now it's just weeks away, as long as they stay healthy. Omega, Okada, in Texas, it all in. And I do feel like with their audience, you know, once they make that match official and they announce that match, it's one of those matches that will help move tickets, you know, for that show. Because the card is not really rock solid yet, but as the card comes into focus and matches like this one are made official, they'll pass that 20,000 mark in tickets. They'll be in that 20 to 25,000. They'll probably be 25,000 by showtime. I don't know what they're allotted for. Obviously, the stadium fits a lot more than that. What they're setting up for, though, is I think somewhere in the 20 to 25,000 range. You know, obviously, if there was some big burst in ticket sales and they hit 25K, they would open it up to 30, you know, or 35. WWE does the same thing. They only open a certain number of tickets, and once they reach that allotment, then they open up other sections. They're not going to get 30 or 40,000 people at the show. That's just not going to happen. I think 25,000 is doable, you know, once they really start filling out the card and we get a little bit closer to showtime. This will be one of the bigger attractions on that show. And it's a Kenny Omega and an Okada who are also now, what, 6 years older than they were when they had their last singles match? Was their last singles match the G1 match they had? That was the shortest match they had. I want to say that was 2019. So it's been a while. You know, it's been a while since we have had... it's been a while since we've had a singles match between these two guys. Kenny has been very beat up. Okada, you watch him a lot of times. It looks like he's just... Even Okada coasting is still good. We don't always get that great New Japan Kenny Omega again, or New Japan Okada. I think against Omega we will. I think these two still have it in them to go out there and have a match on the level of what they did all those years ago. And I am looking forward to that one very much. But that was the... Oh, 2018. Okay. Dominion 2018. I thought it was the G1. Could have sworn they had a G1 match. Anyway, that was the Dynamite portion of Fyter Fest. If you're just looking for some good wrestling, you got good wrestling on this show. I can't sit here and tell you that it was the best episode of Dynamite. It was solid. It was above average. Great crowd. Kudos to the crowd in Denver. But as a show, if you missed it, you really didn't miss much as far as any kind of story progression. It was a lot of great matches, and that was pretty much it. What do we got now? We have, oh, there's Tekla. Tekla is on TV. Well, they have her wrestling Lady Frost. Oh, the match is over, and Tekla is attacking her opponent, refusing to let go. Who the hell is this? Is that Jamie? Oh, that's definitely not Jamie. That's not Jamie. You can tell. I don't know what's going on with my eyes. That is not. If that's Jamie Hayter, the first thing I need to do tomorrow is go get my eyes checked. That ain't Jamie Hayter. Oh, man. Anyway, Tekla victorious in her in-ring debut. What is wrong with me? Oh, man. And to commercial they go. Well, I put a poll up for the first half of Fyter Fest. So this poll is only applicable to the Dynamite portion. Let's take a look here and see. 47% thumbs up for tonight's Dynamite. 53% thumbs down. Queen Aminata, that's who it was. I mistook Queen Aminata for Jamie Hayter. But it was a faraway shot from the ramp. Once they got the close-up view, I could tell who it was. But I am probably the only person in the entire world watching this show right now who would mistake Queen Aminata for Jamie Hayter, because you know they look so much alike, the two of them. Solo needs glasses. I have glasses. I just wear them at night when I drive. I don't wear them. I may have to start wearing them. I can't, though. I can't do it because you'll see the reflection of all the lights and the lenses. It's going to be very distracting, so I can't do it. I have to fly blind here. It's the only way. I'm going to be blind as a bat soon. The glasses I have, I only wear them when I drive at night. If I don't wear them, if I drive at night and I don't wear them, I'm going to be squinting the entire, which is very dangerous. Otherwise, I don't like wearing them. I used to wear them at the movies and stuff. I don't even wear them when I go to the movies now. I wear them when I drive, and that's good enough. But after what just happened here, we may have to change that. Tell you what, though, we had a hell of a night last night on TNT. We killed it over on JD's channel on Tuesday Night Titans last night. That was episode 98. And you guys came out in full force. We had a hell of a show. If you missed that one, definitely go check that out. At least parts of it. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Imagine you go to the mall with your kids, but you've got to use the restroom, right? We've all been there before. You gotta use the bathroom. So you go searching for it. But you grab the first person who walks by and you ask them, can you watch my kids for me? I gotta go take a leak. Right? You would never, ever do that. At least I hope you would never do that. Now, sure, that person likely won't turn out to be an axe murderer, but we've all heard of stranger danger, right? You wouldn't ever leave your kids in the hands of someone you don't know or trust. That would be the equivalent of going online without ExpressVPN. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, which could be almost any public network outside your home, any hacker on that same network can gain access to and steal your personal data. That includes your passwords, that includes your credit card details, that includes your bank logins. Even a teenager could do it. It doesn't take a lot of know-how to make your life a living hell. And your data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling your personal info on the dark web. ExpressVPN stops hackers from stealing your data by creating a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. Now, what I love about ExpressVPN is that it's fast and it's easy to use. And it works on all my devices, not only my laptop, but my phone and my tablet, which I take everywhere with me when I'm on the road. They even offer an optional dedicated IP service engineered with innovative zero-knowledge design, meaning not even ExpressVPN can trace an IP address back to you. There's a reason ExpressVPN is rated number one by top tech reviewers like CNET and The Verge. I've been traveling quite a bit for House of Glory this year, and I'll be headed to Texas next month. And you can bet your ass I'll be keeping the ExpressVPN app open on my phone while I'm away from home. Because my personal data is mine. It's not intended to be seen by anybody else. That's how it's supposed to be. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/solomonster. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster to find out how you can get up to 4 extra months free. ExpressVPN.com/Solomonster. Death Scythe was the first one in before I went live tonight. So we'll start with him. You should switch to covering NXT instead of AEW. Well, that's going to be awfully hard to do since I'm doing a show elsewhere on Tuesday nights, number one. Number two, I've covered NXT occasionally before, and it does even worse than Dynamite does. So for all the people who say, oh my God, you gotta watch NXT. Dude, like I covered that NXT show they did at the ECW Arena last year, which ended up not even being a great show. But regardless of that, like you talk about a dead stream. Like nobody gave a shit. Nobody cares. So that's not the answer. Deathside says, if LA Knight doesn't win Money in the Bank and remains on SmackDown, he should challenge John Cena for the WWE title at Night of Champions. And just when he has Cena beat, Drew McIntyre can cost him the win and Knight can feud with Drew. Well, that's not going to happen because Drew McIntyre is taking time off. We're not going to see Drew McIntyre for a while. He needs to heal up. So you are not getting Drew McIntyre against LA Knight, and I maintain what I've been saying for weeks, which is that LA Knight needs to be moved to Raw. Whether he wins Money in the Bank or not, and he should win Money in the Bank. Whether he does or not, he needs to leave SmackDown as soon as possible. You want to do a loser leave SmackDown match and have him lose? Fine. You want to have a fucking draft and move him over that way? Fine. You want to have a transfer window and have him move that way? Fine. As long as he moves over to Raw. That's exactly what he needs. And Queen Aminata isn't the best. See, that's not Jamie Hayter. That's Queen. See, now I can see. That's Queen Aminata. Antonio Taylor, why was the bodybuilder kicked out of the fan club? He was a poser. Thank you, Antonio. Jerome, thank you for the $2. Ed Swoggle says, I got the words jacuzzi and yakuza confused. Now I'm in hot water with the Japanese mafia. Oh my God. Thanks again for all your content, Solo. Thank you, Ed Swoggle. Don't get in trouble with the yakuza, whatever you do. Stay out of trouble with the yakuza. Tuxedo T Servo, continuing the groove from Monday night with the Learning Tree. Yeah, that was crazy. At the end there on Monday. The moldy cheeseburger. That awkward moment when R-Truth is going to show up in AEW and is going to mistake Darby Allin as Sting and AEW for WCW. That would be funny. Oh, it's just, okay, it's made official. They just put the graphic up. All in Texas. Now, did they say it was, hold on a second. Winner take all. Okay, so that's the stipulation for the match. Winner take all, Omega versus Okada. Good. Good. That's the way it should be. Winner take all. But they need to merge the titles, though. That doesn't tell me that they're necessarily going to merge them. They need to merge them and get rid of the Continental title. But now we know that it is official. Next week is the contract signing for Omega and Okada. Moldy Cheeseburger, though, thank you for the 10. Hey, you know, I mean, people are joking about R-Truth, you know, going to AEW and having, you know, funny moments like that. But I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up back in WWE, especially with the outcry. Probably a better chance he ends up going back there. Mr. Rod, been waiting to say this, but the current versions of Judgment Day and Bullet Club are what NWO B Team was in WCW. You're not wrong. Duff's Vids, a truck loaded with Vicks Vapor Rub overturned on the highway. Amazingly, there was no congestion for 8 hours. Oh my goodness, this guy, man. Don Rickles, reincarnated. Brendan Watson with the $4.99. Just wanted to come on and say I've been watching you since Forbidden Door 2023, and you are one of the very best in the IW. One of. What is this one of business? One of the best in the IWC. Keep doing your thing. Brendan, I appreciate that. I'm happy to have you, brother. Thank you. That's what I like to hear. The Mount Vernon Kid, Christopher Bennett. Hope the Beast Mortos gets paid well, because every time you see him in a match, you know he is taking the fall. Pin me, pay me. If I'm the Beast, I'm going up to Tony Khan. Pin me, pay me. That's it. And how are you feeling about Mariah May showing up on NXT last night? I'm feeling pretty good about it, because that's what I predicted on the show on Sunday. I'm feeling pretty good, actually. I called it Sunday on the Sound Off. I said JC Jane is the NXT Women's Champion, and she ain't going to be having that title for very long. You're calling up all of these women. Roxanne is up. Stephanie's up. Jordan's going to be up. Julia's up. It only makes sense. You've got this void. Slide Mariah May in there as your new NXT Women's Champion. Let her have a run with it. And when the dust settles a little bit, 6 months from now, whatever it is, let her come to the main roster and have the spotlight all to herself. Why should she have to share it right now and get called up with four other women? I don't see anything wrong with giving her an initial run as the champion in NXT. And it just so happens they're running the same weekend as All In. I would say either the Great American Bash or Evolution. One of those two shows is where Mariah May is going to win the NXT Women's Championship. Duff's Vids, why can't you laugh loud in Hawaii? Because only aloha is permitted. Because only aloha. Aloha, I see. Okay.
You suck.
Aloha. Not a hi ha. Thank you, Duff. Paul Carpenter. No disrespect, AEW fans, but I can't get through 1 hour of this shit. I don't know how you did it. I used to run home to watch this, and now I walk slow. It's so weird because I saw comments from some AEW fans today. I don't remember if it was Reddit or where it was. And they were just, man, this is like a free pay-per-view we're getting tonight. They were so excited. God bless them. I mean, I'm glad they're excited for something. But I wouldn't call this a free pay-per-view. You would think this was going to be like the biggest show of the entire year, the way they were talking about it. And then you have fans like Paul who are lapsed fans who used to watch AEW and were fans of it, and now they can't stomach it. You know, they've fallen out of it. So as fans fall off, you hope that they can replace them with new fans. If you're Tony Khan. Duff's Vids, I burnt my Hawaiian pizza. I should have used aloha temperature. Are you planning a vacation or something? It's a second Hawaiian joke. Where is sex always free? Hawaii, again with the fucking Hawaii. Hawaiian airports, you get laid when you step off the plane. Hey, Adonde, welcome. Welcome to Hawaii. Sidro, instead of paying for a gym membership, I just use the weights at Target. So far, they haven't caught me shoplifting.
You suck.
How close are we to the likes goal, by the way? I didn't even think we were going to hit the regular goal. Man, we're only 7 likes away. We may end up doing Be the Booker after all. Sidro says, balloons are costly. Experts say the cause is inflation. Duffs, what animal would make a great detective? Owls. They're always asking who. Thought that was the New Day that did that. Bobby's World. Last Friday's second round of Women's Be the Booker equals a sound-off all-timer. It'll be a memorable one for a while. You're right about that. Columbo. Yeah, you're a regular. Sidro is a regular Columbo over here. What was the other one? Kojak. With Telly Savalas. Kojak and Columbo. Justin G. Officially large pointer and mouse trail old net. What? I have no idea what I just said. Officially large pointer and mouse trail old now. What? What do you? What? Are you in trouble or something? Is this some sort of Morse code? Like what? What does that mean? I have no idea what that means. Matlock. Yeah, I'm a Matlock guy too. Sean says, I got an affinity for Matlock. I got into Matlock late in the game. Matlock wasn't exactly of interest to a young kid, but I've gained an appreciation for it in reruns. Bobby's World, thank you for the gifted membership to KD. Okay. He says, I had to increase my mouse pointer size and turn on mouse trails because I'm going blind. Oh, jeez. You didn't really make that clear, so I wasn't sure what was going on there. It hasn't gotten that bad for me yet. I'm not one of these people who walks around with an iPhone where I have to make the type like extra large. I'm not there yet. Solomonster is a MASH guy. I was not a MASH guy. The A-Team, when I was a kid, yes. I would watch the A-Team. I never watched MASH. Even though apparently the season finale of MASH is still like, or at least until Seinfeld it was, I think the highest viewed finale for would it be a sitcom? It had a laugh track, right? So MASH was technically a sitcom. And it either had or still has the highest audience ever. Like, what was it, like 100 million people or something watched it? It was a very popular show. It was just slightly before my time, so. But I was more of, you know, those shows and Hunter. Big Hunter fan. Hunter and McCall. MacGyver with Richard Dean Anderson. Yeah, that was my jam. Number one, Homo Sapien, to the guy who invented the zero. Thanks for nothing. Bobby's World with another gifted membership. Thank you. Duff's Vids, respect people who wear glasses. We paid good money to see you. Ah, see, you messed up your own super chat. You spelled it. Respect people who wear glasses, as if the people themselves used to be glasses and they were reincarnated as human beings. That makes no sense. You fucked up. Jeremy Dyer, did you hear Liv Morgan had a stalker that got arrested at the PC last night? Yes, there were two arrests at the PC last night. There was a lot of action going on at the PC last night. I'll talk more about that on the Sound Off this Sunday. Apparently, there were two different arrests, one of which was local. I think this one may not have been. This may have been federal. I don't know. I don't know what the hell was going on last night. Then I saw something on Twitter about somebody posting home address or whatever for Roxanne Perez. Like, what is going on with people? Arabian Night 2000, you hear news about Cross and his deal being up in a month or two from Fightful. Got a bad feeling they are not renewing him. Fine by me, he deserves better. I did see that report. He's got a deal that's coming up. They didn't say when. It could be months from now. But they have apparently not reached out to him to negotiate a new deal or offer a new deal to him. Which seems like an ominous sign for his future. Then again, just watching Raw week to week and what they are doing or not doing with him feels like an ominous sign for his future, regardless of his contract status. Justin G, Volcano wanted a restaurant. It was too hot-headed. And Sidro, what's a pastry shop owned by Heisenberg? Baking Bad. I'm surprised somebody hasn't opened one up with that name. Baking Bad. That sounds like a Yelp review, though, for a bake shop. Baking Bad, 1 star. Ah. Well, we hit our goal. We are at 433 likes. A light super chat night, but it's a Wednesday. The show is still on. It's 4 fucking hours. It's still on, by the way, okay? It is 12:03 Eastern time. It is after midnight. This fucking show is still on. They have an overrun for this show. This is why I wasn't waiting until it was over to go live. We have Paragon in the ring right now. And you want, and some people wanted me to wait until the show was fully over and then go live. Look at this shit. Fuck that. We got Adam Cole in the ring with Trent. Fuck off. All right, it's time to be the booker. Let's do it, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Can't believe the show is still on. This is, it's just absurd. It is absolutely, like, Adam Cole and Trent Beretta are in the ring. It is 12:04 a.m. What the fuck are we doing here? What are we doing? Just ridiculous. But it's for the sickos. All right, tag team Be the Booker. We have the Briscoes, Mark and Jay Briscoe. The 13th time? Right, 13 time Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions. Have you not learned, Solo? Says Duff Vidoa. I know. I should know better. I should know. Finally, they won. Paragon won. The match is over. Daniel Garcia is dancing at 12:04 a.m. The Briscoes again. Oh my God, I said his name and he appeared like Joe fucking Hendry. Trent Beretta and Chuck Taylor, best friends. That is not the Briscoes match I was hoping for. Ooh, look at this. Kanosuke Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher walking out as they are going off the air to retrieve their fellow members that have wronged them. They have lost. Well, at least Kyle Fletcher didn't attempt to murder Adam Cole this week, so I guess that's an improvement. Got to start somewhere, right? All right, women's Be the Booker. I'm so happy I didn't wait until the end of that fucking show to go live. Oh, I'm so happy. Lita. That's how Kane used to say it. Lita is with us in women's Be the Booker. Who will Lita be stepping into the ring? I don't know why I keep saying that. It will be Lita against Bayley. The former WWE Women's Champion, Bayley. We never got Bayley against Lita, right? By that point, Lita was only coming back for sporadic appearances. Maybe it was a tag match that I'm not remembering. I don't think we ever got a singles match, though, between Bayley and Lita. Lita again. You've landed on Lita a lot. I should be so lucky to land on Lita. All right, here we go. Men's Be the Booker. It is main event time. We're only getting one round tonight, so we got to try to make this good. We got one buzz. We got one bell. We need a tiebreaker. And we're off to a great start. We have the Olympic gold medalist himself, Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle is in our main event, where he belongs. Kurt Angle against Limitless Keith Lee. Greetings and salutations. Keith Lee will go down as a big what if in the world of wrestling. But a healthy Keith Lee against Kurt Angle would have been one hell of a match. That much I can tell you. Too bad we never got to see it. That would be good. That is a definite bell. That is 2 out of 3 for Be the Booker tonight. So there you go. How does AEW go over when they had 4 hours says Matthew Smith. What are you asking me for? I don't have the answer for you. You know, when Raw was 3 hours every week on USA, there were people who were upset that they would have a hard out at 11. And it's like, oh, how come we can't have overruns anymore? I'm like, motherfucker, you don't need overruns on a three-hour Raw. Raw doesn't need to be 3 hours. They've given you an extra hour and you want more? Never understood that. Like, there were people genuinely upset that Raw no longer had an overrun. Like, are you kidding me? Is 3 hours not enough? Anyway, thank you guys for joining me tonight for the Dynamite portion of Fyter Fest. We went live at our normal time tonight because the second half of Fyter Fest was Collision. Actually, this is great because I assume they're going to do it the same way next week. And so if that's the case, we'll just stick to our normal time next week and go live around 10:30. And I'll have Collision on here off to the side. And if anything important happens, I can comment on it in real time. And otherwise, I'll review Dynamite. I think that's going to be the way to go. But we only have one more week of this shit. And then in 2 weeks, Dynamite comes to Arena Mexico, which is one of the more famous wrestling venues in the entire world. That should be a fun show. I am looking forward to that. I'm also going to be live with you on Friday night for the SmackDown review. So that is the next time I will be with you live. I will not be live on Saturday for Money in the Bank, unfortunately, because I will be at House of Glory. We have a big, big show coming up this weekend. Mike Santana, who just main evented NXT on Tuesday night against Trick Williams, is in the main event on Saturday, defending his HOG World Championship. It's going to be a hot show. I will be there doing commentary. So my Money in the Bank review will be on episode 916. Of the Sound Off, the flagship show, coming up on Sunday. And if I can catch Worlds Collide, which I certainly hope I can before I do the podcast, we'll talk about Worlds Collide as well. We have one last Dark Side of the Ring review for the season finale on Muhammad Hassan. So a lot of good content on the channel even right now. Dark Side review on Daphne, bunch of other clips, Ric Flair being an asshole, tons of stuff. When is he not being an asshole? I saw he tweeted some other dumb shit today. So we'll go check out all that stuff. Sean D, 26 months of channel membership. Solo, get R-Truth to hog. I don't you think that there are, of course, as soon as this happened, you have to know that calls were being made. Whether or not it happens, that I can't say, but I'm sure whatever R-Truth chooses to do next, he will not be hurting for work. Put it that way. Unless he ends up back in WWE, which is certainly possible, I think he will be in high demand for a while. But of course, we would love to have him in House of Glory. He would be always welcomed with open arms. Whether it was a match or a signing or whatever it may be. But Sean D says, I showed my niece Kenta versus Mitsuharu Misawa October 25th, 1995. She got so into it, she was fully behind Misawa by the end. How did All Japan fumble so hard? I don't know, man. I don't know, but those are some legendary battles. Kobashi and Misawa. Unfortunately, also part of the reason Misawa is no longer with us is because of those battles and all of the abuse that his body and his neck took over those many years. So, you know, when you work a style like that, unfortunately, there is a price to be paid. There is a price to be paid. Carlito is the WWC champion now. He didn't waste any time. As soon as he knew that he was not being renewed, He won the title back in his father's promotion, so Carlito will be fine. Yeah, you know, May. I think May's won again tonight on the leaderboard, our little community leaderboard in the chat. I think Maze the Great once again. He's just, I don't know what it is. He's got that lucky rabbit's foot or a lucky horseshoe up his ass, whatever it is. He keeps winning. We're going to make your theme song, All I Do Is Win. That's going to be Maze's official theme. Pre-show chatting. Yeah, all the chatting and the interaction in the chat helps you accumulate points. Super chats help you accumulate points. But they're supposed to reset every stream, so I don't think they carry over. Like, every stream, you start fresh. But apparently he keeps winning, so... If I had a lucky horseshoe up my ass, I wouldn't go through the stress that I do at work every day. I feel you there. SmackDown will go to 4 hours, says John. John, I'm going to throw you out of here if you keep throwing ideas out there. I'm going to personally throw you out of here. I don't want to hear 4 hour SmackDowns. Don't give USA Network any ideas. I don't think USA, though, wants to cut into their Law and Order allotment of episodes. So I think we're safe from 4 hours. The Blue Skull might be a multiplier. It shouldn't be. Maze doesn't have a Blue Skull, does he? I don't know. Does Maze have a Blue Skull? Blue skulls are the highest colored skull that you can have in the chat. I think that's 48 months and up. You can't mention Law and Order without the sound. Well, I don't have the sound. I got rid of the sound. Ed Swoggle. Truth shows up at HOG asking where Henry Godwin is. And then he just turns around and leaves. It wouldn't even be worth it to put him up at the hotel and take care of all that stuff just to have him do that. I'd have to have him wrestle Henry Godwin. We'd have to book Henry Godwin just to have a match with Truth, just to make it worth our while. But we'd probably be the only independent promotion booking R-Truth against Henry Godwin. So, I mean, it would be a unique attraction. That's like a Be the Booker match, though, right? R-Truth against Henry Godwin. That's like something we would land on in Be the Booker. Dominic is in the chat. Dirty Dom. What's going on, Dominic? A slop match? No, it would be the hogpen match. Oh, you know what? We got to add that stipulation to Be the Booker. I just realized that brand new stipulation I realize is not in there. The hogpen match. Oz and Glorious. Blue Sky, Blue Skull crew here, late for Be the Booker, and to see folks who watch 8 hours of WWE Weekly whine about a banger 4 hour show. You're late for Be the Booker. You got to go back and check it out. You missed it. Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to have to add Hogpen match to the list of stipulations. Is that the one where they were on the back of a truck? No. No, you're thinking of the match. You're thinking of the match with Dustin Rhodes and Barry Darso that they got fired for. That was in WCW. The hog pen match was a literal hog pen that they built in the back of the arena. And they filled it with hogs, and you had hog shit all over the place and grass and I don't know, whatever else you find in a hog pen. I don't live on a farm. I don't know. I tell you what I remember from that, though. Triple H, he got backdropped And no, he got whipped into the gate to the hog pen, and he got his back sliced open pretty bad. And then he got backdropped back into the hog pen in all the dirt and all the pig shit. And I remember watching that going, man, he's going to get an infection. He had an open wound on his back and he got backdropped into pig shit. Like, that can't be healthy. I was concerned for his well-being just for that. Oz and Glorious, did the Sonic chime appear or no? It did not. West Coast James says, I'm blue. Yep. One of our blue skulls right there, West Coast James. But yeah, I mean, if you want to watch it, it's like In Your House, I think December 95 on Peacock. Yeah, I mean, he got his back sliced open. It was all bloody and shit. And then to get backdropped and all that, like, ugh. Hmm. Yeah. That's a staph infection waiting to happen. But it all worked out well for him. A few years later, he ended up with a staph infection. So anyway, West Coast James, thank you. Mercedes Manure, come on now. Be nice. I'm sure he got put on antibiotics after. Oz says, Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul? I gotta go with the OG. I gotta go Better Call Saul, but Breaking Bad is fantastic. I'm sorry. Breaking Bad. But Better Call Saul is fantastic. I mean, find me a better prequel. Like a better prequel television series. It's fucking great. Sean says, earlier I watched Ricky Starks against Mike Santana from House of Glory back in January. Great match. It was a great match. It was right before, we got Ricky right before he ended up in NXT. And that was at our Chicago show, I believe. Yeah, that was a very good match. Santana's had a bunch of them, man. I mean, he's been champion in HOG for 550-ish days now. Longest reigning champion we've ever had. And, you know, we've been very fortunate to have him. And, you know, I mean, he has history with the promotion going back to years before I even started working there. So the matches that he's had, that he's put together in this run, I mean, against Red and against Matt Riddle and Psycho Clown and Josh Alexander and on and on and on, Masato Tanaka, Konosuke Takeshita. It's insane. He's wrestling Ishii for the first time this weekend. And you got Charles Mason. He still has that contract that he can cash in. He's had that thing now for almost a year. But this run that Santana's been on, man, you don't want it to end, you know, because the matches have all been so great. So I'm sure we'll get another one this weekend. This is a very important show to him. That's why his name is in the title of the show. It was his idea. So last year we had Mike Santana's Puerto Rican weekend. That was the first one we ever did. And let me tell you how loud it was in that building. It was packed. It was loud. You had a lot of Boricua pride in the building that night. And it's going to be the same thing this Saturday. And you could tell how much it means to him. Like when he talks about that and his heritage and where he grew up, you know, growing up in the Bronx and everything, like that's real. That's legit. And so this is the second year in a row we're doing it. The theme this year is Puerto Rico against the world. So there's a lot of Puerto Rican talent on the show, but we're also bringing in people like Tomohiro Ishii, who is definitely not Puerto Rican, and other people as well. In case you couldn't tell, Ishii is not Puerto Rican. Well, like we have the former Electra Lopez from WWE, Carissa Rivera. She's coming in. She's wrestling Deonna Purrazzo. That's another match on the card this weekend. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time. Where could I watch HOG? You can find the shows on Triller TV. We have a lot of free content on the YouTube channel, but in terms of the show this weekend, Triller TV Plus. The Virtuosa, yes. We had Deonna in for a match 3 years ago. We had a tournament to crown a brand new women's champion. And Deonna was in the tournament that day. So was Jordan Grace. We had Jordan Grace and Deonna. We had a bunch of women in that tournament. So this is her first appearance in 3.5 years. Willie Billy Bomb, do we see Karrion Kross leaving WWE for AEE? I don't know what AEE is. I assume you mean AEW. I don't know where Kross is going to end up if he leaves. And I could definitely see WWE, you know, parting ways with him like they are other people, because he's just as expendable as anybody. I mean, if they let go of somebody like R-Truth, then, you know, very few people are safe in that company. If it were to happen to him, I don't know where he'll land, but I think he will thrive wherever he goes. I know that. He's another one who I think will be in great demand if that were to happen to him. Hopefully it doesn't, but I don't think he'll be hurting for work. Do I think Triple H's booking has gone downhill, like some say he has? Yes. Yes. They said Miz is leaving too. Well, that's just Miz removed all WWE mentions from his social media. He scrubbed all WWE, at least on Twitter. I don't know about his Instagram. He scrubbed mentions of WWE entirely from it, and that got a lot of people talking. That in and of itself doesn't mean he's leaving. But if they get rid of Truth, and if it was a money issue where they felt like, okay, this guy's on a big contract and we want to phase that out, I'm sure Miz is on a big contract. But if Miz were to be released or not renewed, that would shock me more than R-Truth. And it could very well happen. Like, nobody is safe unless you're the tippy-tippy top of the food chain there, like a Punk or a Roman or somebody like that. Nobody is safe. Miz leaving would shock me, though. Like, it would be a truly shocking. Like, he's Mr. WWE. He does so many different things for them. He cheerleads for them and has been there for a very long time. I would be shocked. And yet, I guess in light of recent news, I wouldn't be. I would be what, but I wouldn't be. Doesn't Miz have TV show contract? Well, he has TV show contracts, but that doesn't mean they wouldn't, you know, not renew him. I assume all that stuff is separate. I mean, look, Braun Strowman has a TV show. I think it was on USA Network or Netflix. I think it's USA, some kind of food show. And they let him go. As far as I know, his show is still a go. I know some people were speculating that maybe he's on some kind of special arrangement where WWE will bring him in on a short-term basis. That was just a rumor. That was never confirmed. That was just people on social media talking shit. That was never confirmed. But, you know, they let him go, and he has a TV show. So one doesn't necessarily have to do with the other. That alone is not going to protect you. That much is clear. They want to let you go, they want to cut your pay or cut your deal, then that's what they're going to do. But Miz is supposed to be the new host of this rebooted American Gladiators. Miz has other things going on. Ludwig, oh my God, Ludwig. I forgot all about him. Yeah, what the hell happened to Ludwig Kaiser? You can't buy television time now. What the hell happened to that guy? Apollo Crews, Tozawa. Yeah, I mean, look, you know, there's a lot of guys who I think are on the bubble right now. If I were them, I would be very concerned. Although Apollo's been out injured. That would be pretty shitty if they were to do something to him while he's out hurt, but hasn't stopped them before. They did that with Carl Anderson, so. Like I said, nobody is safe. MGM Ballin, there was once a baseball dropkick in an episode of Psych. Classic. That's when USA Network had actual television shows. Psych was one of those shows. Remember that show G versus E that they had? I remember they had the stars of G versus E on Raw once. And I'm trying to remember who they were. Was it Dulé Hill and the other guy? Or am I thinking of a different show? That maybe they were on Psych. But they definitely had a show called G versus E. That didn't last very long. Yep, Valhalla's gone. She's not being renewed. Did I ever watch A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila? Do I look like I would be watching A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila? Because I wouldn't. Yeah, I only knew Dulé Hill from Psych. I had no idea he was on the West Wing until last year. I started watching the West Wing for the first time, and I said, oh my God, it's the guy from Psych. But I had no idea he was on that show first. What is headlining All In? If Jon Moxley is losing the championship, then Jon Moxley against Hangman is headlining All In. If Jon Moxley is retaining the championship, then Mercedes Moné and Toni Storm is headlining All In. Did I see the interview with Kevin Owens today where he said he might never wrestle again? I did not, no. I still don't think he's had surgery yet. I think he was getting a second opinion. Mr. Bean? Don't throw beans at me, but I know who Rowan Atkinson is. I know who Mr. Bean is. I've never actually watched Mr. Bean. Like a movie or... Like I've never watched Mr. Bean. It never had any appeal to me. That guy Jaeger is here. Solo. How did we get here? Went from WWE on fire, now talent we love are being fired, dull storyline, same repetitive stuff. What happened, he says. I think what happened, it's just a case of you get too comfortable. You know, you get too comfortable, you don't have to really put in maximum effort because you know you can get by on what you've been doing, or you can get by on the bare minimum because the numbers are high and the tickets are being sold and the money is being made and all these big deals, these media rights deals and these WrestleMania deals, they're still firing on all cylinders in that regard. That will not last forever, but business is still booming for them. Business is booming and they don't have that fear of anybody nipping at their heels. You know, there's a reason why when Vince had his back to the wall in 97, and quite literally his company was very close in the summer, early fall of 97 to filing bankruptcy, and they were getting their asses kicked. You know, they were put in a position where they had to fight back. You know, they had to make changes and they did what needed to be done. And in the end, it paid off for them. You know, they made new stars. Certain guys got hot. And, you know, off to the races they went. Now it's too easy for them because they don't feel challenged. You know, they take everything for granted because they're so fucking big. And it's just, they make so much money now. You know, guaranteed rights money from these television contracts, it may have been the best thing that ever happened to these companies in terms of their bottom line, but I think in many ways it was the worst thing that could happen if you're a fan of the product, because now they have no incentive to change because they have their guaranteed money that they know they're going to get, probably with escalators in the contract, so it'll go up and up each year. And they're going to make that money no matter what. They're going to make that money no matter what. Maze the Great. What's your favorite childhood candy? I had a lot of them. I used to love Milky Way candy bar. It was Snickers, obviously, but Milky Way candy bars, Kit Kat. I mean, I would have Skittles. I wouldn't say that was my favorite. Milky Way, Kit Kat, Twizzlers. It was always a favorite of mine. Nerds. Sour Straws. A Dentist Dream. Willie says, with Sean Ross Sapp's report, why hasn't Triple H pushed Karrion Kross? I don't know. That's a great question. He makes little sporadic appearances here and there, but he's not really getting a push. They may soon push him right out the front door. That's what it feels like. Aha, Fruit by the Foot. Yes. 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 How could I forget? Fruit by the Foot and Fruit Roll-Ups were a favorite of mine. And then there was also something called Gushers. And Gushers were these little gummy candies that had, I mean, what was it that was on the, it was on the inside. It was some sort of like a fruit jam of some kind. Like you would bite into it. Those were great too. All things that are just terrible for you. And you shouldn't be having. But I used to love all that stuff. I used to get the Cadbury cream eggs every Easter. It was back when I can have that kind of stuff. I used to buy those ring pops. Devin. How many more years do you see Punk wrestling for? Well, he's not really working a full-time schedule. So, I mean, if he could stay healthy, he could probably go another 5 years if he wants to. I don't really see him sticking around longer than that. I don't think he's going to be one of these guys who wrestles until he's like mid to late 50s, you know, who can't let go. I think he has aspirations to do stuff behind the scenes and work in NXT. I think he has aspirations to run NXT. And if ever there was a reason that Shawn Michaels had to give it up, you know, health reasons, God forbid, or something like that, I think he would be first in line to want to take his spot. So I would say no more than 5 years. At like the current part-time schedule that he works, I'd say no more than 5 years. I mean, I know he said that they were trying to get him to re-sign a new five-year deal. And he was a little hesitant about it. But I think if they want him to sign a long-term deal, he'll do it. And probably at the end of that, he'll be done. Homo Sapiens says, I just saw some Gushers at the store today, so they do still sell them. Yeah, Gushers were the shit, man. I used to love that. I used to get the bazooka gum with the Bazooka Joe comic inside. That was always fun. They may push him out the front door. Yes. They probably will. They probably will. Snickers ice cream bars are still my favorite. I didn't even know they had Snickers ice cream bars. I used to like the WWF ice cream bars. You know, they came out with like a new version now. They have the, but they're like sandwiches. The squares, they're not the same. I don't know what's so difficult about bringing back the old bars, but just putting the you know, some current names on there. Like, all you have to do is literally take the exact same bar from all those years ago and just put current wrestlers on them. I don't know why they didn't just bring back the old bars. The old bars were the shit, man. Those were great. Could I see Omos being Carmelo's heater? No, Omos is another one I could see being led to the front door. Only he won't fit, so he'll have to go through the back door. But yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why they called him back from Japan so abruptly and had him vacate his half of the GHC tag team titles just to do absolutely fuck all with him. That just makes no sense to me. You would think that they had some big plan in mind. We got to get him back. He was enjoying his time over there. He was doing well. They called him back to just sit him on the bench and do nothing with him. And Nick Khan talks about how we don't bench people. Really? No, the Mets are leading. Oh, that's right. The Mets and the Dodgers. That's right. The Mets are out west. So the Mets are still playing right now. What inning is it? Apparently, they're crushing the Dodgers. They lost the game last night that they should have won. They won the first game in the series, and they lost last night. They were leading until the ninth, and then the Dodgers tied it, and then they won it in 10 innings. York peppermint patties. Never had one. I'm not really a peppermint guy. They have those like Andes peppermint candies. Yeah, I just was never really a fan of that. Oh, wow. Pete Alonso hit a 447-foot home run. Is it wrong that Pete Alonso has been more fun and interesting to watch than Juan Soto, the man who they're paying $800 million to? I feel like it shouldn't be that way. Do I think Mariah is keeping her name? Julia, Stephanie, and Jordan kept theirs. I think the fact that they did not call her Mariah May tells you that she is not keeping her name. You know, people were joking last night, oh, she's going to be Mariah June and Mariah. You know what, though? I'll tell you what. If they renamed her, if she had to be renamed, like Mariah March, it's actually not a bad name. If they were going to rename her Mariah March, like I think that would be fine. I think that would be a fine name. Mariah Michaels. Sure, Sean would love that. Guaranteed success. They just name her after the head of NXT. Peanut M&Ms. Love peanut. I used to love peanut M&Ms. Mariah should be just Mariah. Like Madonna. I'm telling you, man. Mariah Michaels. Mariah March is not a bad name. It really is not. You get to keep the same initials. Sean's long-lost niece. Well, Ken Kennedy was going to be Vince McMahon's, illegitimate son. She could be his long-lost daughter. El Kabong just subscribed. El Kabong. Yeah, there were people watching this AEW show tonight that were probably wanting to hit the bong. At least the second half. Mariah Mays. Mariah Mason. Mariah Monroe. I still feel like Mariah March is the best name I've heard so far. And I came up with it, so I may be partial to it. His British niece. Sean has a British niece. Well, you know, look, back in the day, the Heartbreak Kid, I mean, he, you know, spread his seed all over the world. So maybe he has a long lost. Boy, we're really coming up with some weird storylines here, aren't we? Whatever. She's living her dream now. She always wanted to be in WWE. Yeah, this woman worked as a model for WWE shop years ago. Like, this is where she always wanted to be. She got her run in AEW. She upped her stock. A lot of people know who she is now who would not have known about her if she just came right out of stardom. She becomes only the second former AEW world champion, male or female, to migrate over to WWE. It's CM Punk and then Mariah May. Would have been Cody. Had Cody not, imposed that dumb stipulation that he couldn't wrestle for a world title in AEW, because I'm sure he would have won one before he came back. But yeah, CM Punk and Mariah May are the only two former AEW world champions to join WWE. So she had a great run there. That run is over, and now she'll have a great run in her new home. I have no concerns about how she is going to do. I will see you guys back here on Friday. Thank you for hanging out with me. I will be back with you for the SmackDown post show. So until then, be well, stay safe. Go check out all the other content here on the channel. Leave a like on your way out. I sure would appreciate it. And I will see you back here for more Sound Off very soon, live on YouTube. Until then, take care, guys.